Want to win money on sports? With Underdog, you can up to 1,000 times your cash just by picking higher or lower on your favorite player stats. Millions of fans have won billions of dollars on Underdog. Will you be next? Download the Underdog app and sign up to get a free pick with your first cash entry up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you deposit. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama, Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special pre-recorded episode of Take the Black, not live. A different version of the show where every week we meet, we talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, space lasers, horses, dragons, etc., and so forth. Today, we are doing a preview of the 20 most hotly anticipated sci-fi and fantasy television shows of 2025. And you know, I'm Dan Selke. He's Daniel Roman. And you know,
hello.
Daniel Roman, every year we hear that the streaming bubble might be popping, that the post Game of Thrones gold rush might be slowing down or ebbing. But I put together a list of shows that are coming up next year, and I was staggered by just how much there is. Usually we've done 15 of these, like top 15 shows coming or top 15 shows about the past year. There were so many that I had to up it to 20. So we're going to do 20 shows coming in 2025. And I'm looking forward to it. Want to get into it?
Yeah, should be a good time. This is our first show of 2025. I don't know if you guys can hear it. My dog is going crazy. He's ready.
Yeah. He's wondering, like, am I having an aneurysm or is something happening to the background? I didn't want to bring it up. Okay, now I know it's the dog. I'm glad.
The dog is very excited for 2025 shows. Obviously, he's a big television watcher. He'll stop doing that. There's probably a squirrel outside or something.
Sure.
Anyway, yes, very excited. Glad this is our first show of the year. And where do we start, Dan? What shows are we going to talk about?
By listing all 20 really, really fast. Okay. The 20 on our list, and we had to leave some off because there's still stuff that we couldn't fit on here, is the second season of The Last of Us, zombie show. Second season of Severance, Apple TV Plus's show about memory in the workplace. Second season of Star Wars Andor, a lot of second seasons here. The first season of the new Game of Thrones prequel show, A Night of the Seven Kingdoms. The revival series, Daredevil, Born Again. The fifth and final season of Netflix's breakout sci-fi hit, Stranger Things. The third season of the fantasy epic, The Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime Video. Third season of Amazon Prime Video superhero animated series Invincible. The fourth season of The Witcher on Netflix. The third and final season of Squid Game on Netflix. The second season of Wednesday, the Addams Family YA Tim Burton-y show on Netflix. The second season of live action anime adaptation pirate series One Piece on Netflix. Netflix, you're all well presented. The second season, lots of second seasons, of Percy Jackson and the Olympians, a adaptation of Rick Riordan's YA fantasy series on Disney Plus. Okay, the new show, It, Welcome to Derry, coming to HBO. That's an It prequel show, you know, scary clown. The second season of The Sandman on Netflix. Daniel wanted to put
Say
the show Devil May Cry on here.
Yes, well, I did.
I'm curious about that one. I don't even know what that's coming to. What's that coming to?
Netflix, of course.
Netflix, naturally. The eighth and final season of Outlander on Stars. That'll be a big one. The second season of The Boys spinoff, Gen V, on Amazon Prime Video. The seventh season of long-running sci-fi anthology series, Black Mirror, on Netflix. and the sixth and final season of the dystopian the allegory about gender discrimination, The Handmaid's Tale, on Hulu. And there are things we left off. We didn't put on like the Walking Dead shows because we didn't really watch those. I didn't put on the next season of Doctor Who just because I don't know. Just, I'd like take up something and I didn't. That felt like something that could go. Yep. So there's a ton coming up, more than I thought. It's not ebbing.
No, I think, you know, the streaming bubble conversation is interesting because it does feel like things have shifted with less things being greenlit, studios being a little more finicky. But I don't think we're going to see the real repercussions of that maybe for a year or two, because a lot of these are things that were already in production. Like you said, a lot of season twos, a lot of blah, 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 and final seasons. But you're right. There is a lot of stuff we left off. There might be a Murderbot show coming next year. That's an important one to note. That's based on Martha Wells' really beloved sci-fi stories about Murderbots, a robot who doesn't really like humans and just wants to watch soap operas, but also kind of loves humans and helps them out. So we don't know for sure that that's coming in 2025. We do know that Apple TV is making a show on it, but that's why it's not on our list, not confirmed for 2025 yet. We also left off a lot of Marvel, and that's like Ironheart, Eyes of Wakanda. We have Daredevil, because Daredevil is kind of, you know, it's got a unique amount of hype, because
that's the Marvel representation for this list.
It is. And I think out of all the ones that are coming next year, that's probably the one that you and I are both most interested in.
Yeah.
There's more Anne Rice stuff next year, like Mayfair Witches and the Talamasca show. But neither of those shows are titled Interview with the Vampire. So our excitement is middling. There's also an Outlander prequel. There's also a Dexter prequel. Next year is going to be packed. And we're saying next year, you guys watching this, you are watching this on January 1st. We're recording it in December. So if it sounds like we're in a time loop, that's why. So a lot of stuff. I'm really excited to talk about all of these shows, most of these shows, at least 75% of them. So where do we begin? Beginning of our list, end of our list.
I want to start at the beginning, because I was thinking about this and I was thinking, like, what would I put first? What I put last? And I think my heart wants to put The Wheel of Time season 3 in the first place.
Yeah.
It sounds like you agree.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say yes. There are a lot of shows that I'm really excited for next year. I don't think, and part of this is because the hype train has already started rolling for the Wheel of Time season 3. Like they are in promo mode right now, because the Wheel of Time season 3 premieres in March of 2025. So we've already gotten a trailer. We've already gotten, you know, images and teases and whatever else, casting announcements. But I do think, looking at these shows, I really enjoyed The Wheel of Time season 2. I think there was kind of a shift in the public recognition of The Wheel of Time, like halfway through season 2. It was interesting to watch, like, the non-book readers in my life who haven't read Wheel of Time get really excited about it. And that kind of started halfway through season 2. And I think, right, it is poised. It's adapting a really good book in the series with some really iconic events. It's third season. It's probably going to be a much more confident production this time. Mm-hmm. I think The Wheel of Time is really poised to elevate itself in the cultural zeitgeist a little bit this year. I would definitely put it up there. I think the only other one that's competition for me is probably Stranger Things, fifth and final season.
It's going to be a big deal. I agree with The Wheel of Time. It seems like a show on the rise, and I just like having a solid epic fantasy show running. I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy this a lot. And I agree with everything you said. It's moving along. It has momentum. It seems to be gaining traction with every year. So I'm looking forward to that.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the second spot, yeah, Stranger Things is a candidate. I think The Last of Us Season 2 is a candidate.
Definitely up there.
Star Wars Andor could be a candidate. I think A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms could be a candidate. Those are kind of the ones that I'm tossing around for the second place spot, and I haven't made up my mind on what goes next.
So why don't we jump to the bottom then, so that we leave some anticipation for the people watching, the people listening. If you're on Spotify, come find us on YouTube. If you're on YouTube, go find us on Spotify. We're everywhere on this show. But would you be open to that? Let's crap on some shows for a minute.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Okay, yeah, work our way up out to there. Smothers.
So I imagine you must have your reasons. But if I'm looking at this list and I'm looking at what to put 20th, I'm thinking Devil May Cry, which is this animated Netflix series based on a series of Capcom video games that I have enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I just don't know much about this. So why did you want this show on here?
Well, I wanted this show on here because I love Devil May Cry. Like you said, they're based on video games. They're about this foul-mouthed, bad attitude-wielding devil hunter named Dante, who goes around slicing up demons very stylishly. They're kind of, you know, in that vein of anime style where it is ridiculous, over the top. He fights them with a cowboy hat and a scarf in one game. Like, they're very outlandish games. Devil May Cry is one of those series where an anime adaptation of it could be a lot of fun if done well. And this has, I think it's, I forget the name of the person doing it, but I'm pretty sure he worked on Castlevania. So they've been developing this animated Devil May Cry series for like 5 or 6 years, trying to really do it well. So that is one that personally, Devil May Cry just lives so deeply in my heart that I'm very excited and curious about that. Now, it could go either way. It could be great. It could be really meh, like the Lara Croft Tomb Raider series that came out this year. That those are games I also love, and I really was not impressed with the animated series. So it's a coin toss for me. What I will say is that is one that I am personally very excited for, but I'm not going to really like stake my life and reputation on that. It should be outranking even the things I could care less about.
Yeah, like, it's not getting out of that bottom row. I'm telling you right now.
No, and it shouldn't. And it shouldn't, because there's a lot of good stuff coming this year. So the only caveat to this that I would say, my only argument for it, should it be 20th or should it be like 19th or 18th, is, are there any shows on this list you just are not gonna watch and don't care about?
I mean, yes, there are. and I want to say that just because I'm not interested in these doesn't mean they're not good.
Sure. Like,
personally,
this is our list of
hype. I'm probably not going to watch second season of Wednesday just because I'm a 30 something like adult man. And like YA sort of school days CW style fiction is fun. I'm sure it's very good. Kind of same thing with the Percy Jackson show. I watched that first. I thought it was nice. I thought it was cute.
You're not necessarily the target audience.
You know, like, and that's okay. Aren't being made for me. These aren't being made for my 30-something old ass. Let's watch blood and guts and violence and conflict and drama and stuff.
Not like Devil May Cry. That's going to be me.
Devil May Cry, though. That Castlevania show, like, I'd put Devil May Cry. I mean, again, I don't know. Perhaps it'll be wonderful. If it's like that Castlevania show, which I liked, you know, it's very, I don't mind things that are kind of all about surface and just all about style. I think those are fun. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they're really, I don't know if they're quite, like, Castlevania isn't really reaching high enough for me to really care deeply about it. And that second season really bored me. Like, I really like the first season a lot. And then, this is kind of tangential, but that second season of the Castlevania show, it started to, like, wanted to do Game of Thrones things where these people are like talking in rooms about plots. And I'm like, why aren't you having gonzo, crazy, insane action scenes where you decapitate vampires? I'm not sure you know your own strengths.
Yeah.
So, but that was a certain time, though.
That's fair. And I've seen all the seasons of the original Castlevania. I haven't seen Nocturne yet. And I agree with you. Season one was the peak of the show. Even though I enjoyed things about all the seasons, the first season was the strongest. I think we can put Devil May Cry in 20th. I don't care about things like It, Welcome to Derry. I know The Handmaid's Tale is good, but I haven't been watching it. Devil May Cry is a coin toss. For Daniel's personal list, it's much higher than this. But I don't think there's any sane way to argue it should be outranking probably a lot of these other shows.
I'm thank you. That's very good of you.
I appreciate that it's even in this conversation. But yeah, safely.
How
in
do
20th.
You feel about like Wednesday and Percy Jackson, which again, I think are decent shows, but they're just, if this is our list of things we're looking forward to, I'm not terribly interested just because they're just not made for me.
I would put Wednesday lower than Percy Jackson. And my reasoning for doing that is because Wednesday is a reboot of a very popular IP. Granted, it is Tim Burton. It has Jenna Ortega. Who's fantastic. It's got a really good cast. It was a huge show for Netflix when the first season came out. The reason I am personally more interested in Percy Jackson, and I think it's a little bit more in our realm of discussion, is because it's based on these fantasy books by Rick Riordan.
Yeah, totally.
They haven't, you know, movies were made of them, but they were kind of like infamously not great. Like, they weren't horrible movies, but they weren't very good as adaptations to the point where Rick Riordan was kind of like estranged from them. Like, he's talked publicly about not feeling good about how it went down. So I think Percy Jackson for me would probably be 18th. I would probably put Wednesday 19th.
I am down for this.
Cool. We're coming at this from a place of accord.
Yeah, I think we've gotten pretty good at this. We do this every year, everybody. We both do this and the best shows of the year. We've gotten great at compromise.
Yes, which if you haven't seen that one, that is up on our YouTube channel, Spotify, wherever. We did rank 2024's our favorite shows from that year, too.
The other ones I'd put here in kind of this lower level, Black Mirror, I think is obviously it's been around for a long time. It can be pretty like hit or miss, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are episodes that I think are great of that show that I've watched. This kind of where it's this like new Twilight Zone where every episode is its own and it's distinct. And some of them are excellent, and some of them can kind of be passed over and you won't really miss much. That could go there. The Handmaid's Tale, I'm kind of with you. I wanted to put it on here because it's the final season. It has been running a long time, and it's pretty well regarded. I feel like the hype for that one peaked very early. Like, it was talked about a lot in the early days, and then kind of just, part of me is like, it's still on. I just haven't been paying a lot of attention to it. But I wanted to honor it, but I haven't seen it in a few years, so it's not really high on my hype list. The Sandman season 2, I really liked The Sandman the first season, but I've heard this one might, like, whereas the first season adapted the first two volumes of Neil Gaiman's comic book Opeth, they might just be doing the rest in the second season. Like, there are like six other more volumes. Maybe it's because Neil Gaiman's scandal troubles and they want to wrap it up early. Maybe it's because it wasn't a big hit. But that's put a bit of a damper on how excited I am for that one. It would be higher if it wasn't for that. You laugh and something. What's funny?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. I got distracted for a minute because I was curious about something about The Handmaid's Tale, because I think it's interesting that you said the hype peaked early, because there is only one Handmaid's Tale book by Margaret Atwood that this is based on. Very, very famous novel. And it's all in the first season. So since then, they've been kind of creating their own story. You know, they did the book in one season. So I think it makes sense that the hype maybe peaked early for The Handmaid's Tale. I was laughing because I looked this up, and this is relevant to us here on this podcast because we are a Game of Thrones site. I looked this up, and And the AI overview, which you cannot turn off on Google, said, yes, The Handmaid's Tale Hulu television series goes beyond the book by Margaret Atwood in several ways. The first season of the show is similar to the book, but the events that follow are made up for the show. The show's creators, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, have said that the show goes beyond the book's premise. That Dan Weiss and David Benioff did not make The Handmaid's Tale. I looked this up because I was like, there's no way that's true. Bruce Miller is the creator of The Handmaid's Tale television show, I believe. Either way, we know it's not Benioff and Weiss. Don't trust the AI overview. So I think, you know, the ones I'm eyeing for the 17th slot, I think Black Mirror is a fair one. I think what you said about it being hit and miss is that, like, you could not describe Black Mirror more accurately than that. It has some episodes that are like Emmy deserving, like part of the cultural conversation, like that one about ironically the AI avatars with actors, like that went up during season six, right around the time that the Hollywood actors were striking, and that was like referenced in the strike discussions and in the news surrounding the strike because they were trying to get protections for AI representation of people's images. But then you have other ones like the final few episodes of that season that were just weird, that everyone kind of forgot about. I think Black Mirror could go 17th. I'm more interested in it than The Handmaid's Tale personally, but you know, I think it's such a coin toss series. I'm not going to argue it should necessarily be way higher on the list, especially because season seven, maybe because there was such a long break between seasons five and six, it felt a little more special when season six came because it was like, oh man, they're doing Black Mirror again. Seven is coming pretty quick on the heels of it, and my hype is just okay.
I do love that one Star Trek episode they're going to do a sequel to, the USS Callister. But
Chris Milioti from the Penguin.
Great. I'm fine with that. I mean, The Witcher season four could be, I mean, we're a little invested because we've been following it for a long time.
Yes.
What do you think of The Witcher season four?
I think the two shows that are in contention to be lower for me, The Witcher season four, I think for me personally is higher because I am just invested in The Witcher as a franchise. I love the games. I love the books. I am really curious to see what they do with Liam Hemsworth. It could be awful. It could be not awful. The jury is really out. I'm very torn on some of the castings, like Lawrence Fishburne as Regis, because I love Lawrence Fishburne, but it's hard for me to imagine him as Regis the way Regis is described in his mannerisms and stuff like that. I would say, I think at this point, if neither of us is going to watch The Handmaid's Tale or the other one I'm looking at, It.
Yeah.
Where does It Welcome to Derry fall for you?
I'm intrigued because, because it's HBO. Like,
yeah,
I still think HBO tends to turn out pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I've been watching this Dune show, which I know you weren't quite as high on as I was. And
it's grown on me.
And I think it wrapped up pretty solidly. And I'm very happy it got renewed for a second season.
Me too.
They commit. And I've read it. I don't have it with me now, but it's like this giant,
gargantuan tome.
Like, I know what they're going to adapt, like these kind of flashbacks. And look, that book is huge. There's enough for like a season of prequel. You could totally do it. And I'm just intrigued. I bet HBO could turn something interesting. But yeah, I'm not going to push for it to be super high or anything.
Okay, I think we should put Handmaid's Tale at 16 then. If neither of us is that interested in watching
it's fair.
I think that's what I'd put there. We're starting to get into it now because most of the rest of these shows are going to be a little bit more of a discussion. Like The Witcher for me personally, you know, there's also Outlander and Gen V.
I mean, I don't care about Gen V. I know you do.
I liked the first season of Gen V. I think it's funny because The Boys is never bad. But no. Getting into it with all these other side series, I can feel myself getting a little bit of the Marvel, I'm just going to care about these less, even though mm-hmm. each one has still been good.
Sure.
I would put Gen V lower than The Witcher, personally, because this is mainline Witcher. It's Liam Hemsworth, which could be great, could be less than great. I'm intrigued, though. I think my level of intrigue is very high for the next season of The Witcher. And it's also adapting some interesting parts of the book, which it may do well, and it may completely jettison into the northern chilly fjords and do its own thing. I don't know.
Okay. I think we have this entire row figured out. We just don't have the order quite yet.
Okay.
This row is going to be Gen V season 2, Outlander season 8, The Sandman season 2, It Welcome to Derry, and The Witcher season 4.
I think that what you just said, Dan Selke, editor of winteriscoming.net, is completely on point.
Yeah,
totally. For audio listeners, we're referencing Rose because producer Richard has made a wonderful graphic that we have up on screen. Go watch it on YouTube so you can take part in the graphic funness. Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think those are the five that we're looking at here for our next five slots. That's slot 11 through slot 15. It Welcome to Derry, Outlander season 8, Gen V season 2, Witcher season 4, and what was the other one?
The Sandman.
Ooh, you have The Sandman that low.
Again, I explained it because I really liked the first season, but if this season is going to adapt the whole rest of the comics, like the next six volumes, which is the word, we're not 100% certain, but that's kind of the word we've gotten.
Yes.
It basically means they're cutting off the series short or condensing it drastically, and that has knocked my hype down a few notches.
Yeah, I think that's really fair, and presumably part of the reason they're cutting it short, and we don't know this, but we can assume it's a factor in the equation, is that Neil Gaiman is facing sexual assault allegations. He's the author of the Sandman comics, and basically all of the television adaptations attached to him have all cut ties in varying degrees of obviousness. So yeah, it seems like they are doing some kind of very condensed Sandman season 2. I think we should put Gen V in spot 15. If you don't care about it, I'm just kind of like, I'm sure I'll enjoy Gen V, but I am not going to mark my calendar for Gen V season 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's good.
When The Witcher comes out, it's going to be a big deal to me, even if it sucks. So,
and it might not. Like, it's been... I thought the third season was an improvement.
Yeah.
The public has turned on it.
It has. That's
definitely true.
Yeah, but the public's so fickle. The public was also... I don't know if you saw this, but there were a lot of ranty YouTube videos about the fact that Ciri is the next main character in the next Witcher game.
Sure.
Because Ciri is a woman, and they're replacing men in the cultural conversation, which is... So is such garbage and so objectively wrong in this instance.
But, I mean, even at its best, though, The Witcher has always felt like a bit of an expensive Xena warrior princess Hercules Legendary Journeys type show to me.
Totally.
Even when people were on board with it back in the first season, I didn't hate it, but I was like, this feels kind of schlocky.
Yeah.
Which I don't hate schlock. Honestly, if it were up to me, I think I would put The Witcher season 4 next, but I am willing to hear your arguments.
Yeah, so how do we judge this at this point? Because neither of us is going to watch Outlander season 8, right? It's the final season, but neither of us is going to watch it. I will watch The Witcher multiple times.
Yes,
yeah, but is this our personal hype, or is it just the import of it?
We have taken the wise decision not to define criteria too stringently, which I think is a really pro for us.
Okay.
I'm fine. You're right. I'm probably not going to watch Outlander at this point. I'm way too behind. And you have watched some Outlander and apparently you fell off.
I fell off. Yes. I got tired of Outlander using sexual assault the way other shows use action scenes. where that's its big things it turns on is some person gets abused. After like six seasons of it, I was like, I'm enough. just wasn't my jam, even though it is an exceptionally well-made show. So I'm going to, I personally, this is the thing where I'm like, I was turned off from that show. I will not be watching the final season. The Witcher, I will watch multiple times.
Yes, you will.
Even if it's kind of mid, which you're right, it has been an expensive Xena type show, and not to shade Xena, because I actually think Xena was a much better show.
Xena.
Yeah. I'm going to vote Outlander season 8 at 14 for the sole reason that neither of us is going to watch it. And then if we want to put Witcher at 13, I can,
great idea.
I can compromise there, even though I'm pretty soured on Sandman, honestly. And it sucks because I know, like,
soured from the show or like just from based on the first season?
No, based on Neil Gaiman, really. Which is the shame of this, because I know like you and so many people have waited so long for a good Sandman adaptation, and now we have one, and this stuff about Neil Gaiman came out, and for me
I thought the first season did a good job. I thought the first season was a good adaptation of the comic books. I thought it did a very solid job.
I agree.
And I mean, we're not going to get into a whole talk about like separate the art from the artist, yada yada yada. I think one can. Like, look, if they were able to adapt the rest of the Sandman, but like not have Neil Gaiman on set, I'd be down for it. I would still enjoy it. I can enjoy the work apart from the scandals he's been undergoing. But I'm mostly disappointed they're going to adapt the whole thing. That's mostly where my reservation comes in. And I would put it at 12, frankly, is what I would do next.
Then we should do that. This is your call. Sandman and It. Yeah, I'd agree. 12. I'm more interested in It, even though I haven't seen the new movies with Bill Skarsgård.
I'm surprised.
I miss them. For whatever reason, I just never got around to seeing them.
Bad.
So are you saying, because I know that It, the novel, is broken into a story set in the past when the main characters were kids, and then a story when they're adults. Didn't the movie cover both of those? Or are you saying Welcome to Derry is like doing the story when they were kids?
So Stephen, no, it is not. So 12 is going to be the Sandman and 11 is going to be Welcome to Derry. I think it's good. No. So Stephen King and his co-writer on It, they had the kid sections, the adult sections, and then they had these very large sections where they did the past of Derry, like other things that happened long before the kids were even born.
Oh, okay.
Like the Pennywise the Clown kind of surfaces up. And it talks about
clowns trying to make his way in the world.
And I remember them. Like, I remember reading them being like, oh, they're going to do the one where there's like kind of the race riot against the Black Soldiers Bar, or the one where there's like the Bonnie and Clyde type gangsters in the town. Like those. And I'm like, those could make episodes of TV easy.
Okay.
Like, I can see it. I can see it. And again, it's HBO. I'm sure it'll be decent. Stephen King and his co-writer, they really stuck a ton of stuff into that book. I'm interested. I'm interested. I think it could be good.
Okay. Yeah, you're selling me. I am definitely of that row, aside from, like I said, the mandatory I will be into The Witcher because I just like The Witcher. Welcome to Derry is definitely the thing I'm most interested in, aside from that, of those five.
But I mean, it's untested completely, so I mean, it could be nothing.
Yeah.
But I doubt it. I give HBO some slack, because they're HBO. They have yet to lose all my interest.
Yeah, HBO has proven they deserve the benefit of the doubt. They don't typically put out straight-up stinkers. And I think that is something we've seen with a lot of the streaming services that are also other businesses like Prime Video or Netflix that was like a rental place that now is making its own things. The quality is not always front of mind in the way that I think it is at HBO.
You know, there are two other HBO shows on this list that we're talking about it. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms and The Last of Us Season 2.
You're going to be way high on this, though.
You're going to be high. So you thought Stranger Things Season 5 should be in the second place. What are the other contenders for second place? I thought it was those two, Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, Last of Us Season 2. I mean, there are actually quite a few. I'm looking forward to Severance Season 2. I'm looking forward to what else am I looking forward to?
Andor
season 2 and maybe Squid Game season 3, because we're this show is going out after the second season of Squid Game has come out, so I can finally talk about it. The second season was quite good. I have one episode left to watch as I record this, and I have a feeling it's going to be like a two-part, like it's not going to be like a complete story, it's going to be like come back later. Probably shouldn't be in the second place. Okay. Maybe the third season can be there. But right. I did enjoy right. it.
Fair.
Of course I enjoyed a lot.
Like, okay.
It's very exciting to watch that series when it's firing on all cylinders. Yeah. Which it didn't do as much as it did in the first season. So yeah, I guess it shouldn't be second. But it'll be up there.
I think we have an idea of our top contenders. I think we should mm-hmm. keep going up toward them, because I think there are a few right. obvious ones that are going to be lower.
Okay.
I think the ones I'm eyeing next, so we're at spot number 10. I think I'm looking at Invincible and Daredevil.
Yeah, I like Invincible a lot.
I haven't seen it, so I'm deferring to your judgment. I know it's supposed to be very good.
I like it a lot, man. It's this show based on Robert Kirkman's superhero comic books, the guy did The Walking Dead. I always say this, it's not like subversive the way The Boys is. It's not like trying to critique superhero fiction or anything modern society. It's a very straightforward superhero show, but it goes at it like so hard that it feels like no one else is doing it like Invincible is doing it. Like it's got this, it's kind of Game of Thrones-esque in the way it keeps expanding its story. And this year it's going to have a full season. Whereas last time they had like these four episodes in 2023, four episodes in 2024, and like a big month between it for whatever reason. I don't know. Strikes, pandemic, yada, yada, yada. This year it'll have like a straight season going straight forward. I think it could be excellent. I would put that above Daredevil, which I'm sure could be fun. I enjoyed the Netflix Daredevil show. I thought it was nice. I didn't like worship at its altar the way some folks seem to. And who knows what's going to be like on Disney now that they have here, what they'll nip and tuck and change and snip.
Yeah.
It'll probably be decent, though. I would do Daredevil Invincible.
I agree with that. So even just hearing your arguments about Invincible, I think we're going to put Daredevil at 10th, Invincible at 9th. I think Daredevil, you know, I did really enjoy the Netflix show.
I
am partial to Daredevil as a superhero, and I thought they did a really cool take on it. I thought Charlie Cox as Daredevil, Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin were
quality
casting. And I forget Karen, I forget the actors for the two supporting people with Daredevil. Yeah, but Foggy and Karen Page.
Yeah,
I like them too, and they're bringing the whole posse back. But I do think Marvel is in this weird space where it just has things to prove. With everything it puts out, I'm gonna assume there's a better chance it will be than that it will be good. And so far its track record with bringing back in Daredevil and the Kingpin has been a little spotty. Like I liked the Daredevil the Daredevil appearance in She-Hulk, I enjoyed. I haven't enjoyed when they've brought the Kingpin back over much, because he's felt kind of defanged. Like he's still manipulative, he's still interesting, but like he's just a much less brutal character than he was in the Netflix show. And we know that this show had problems behind the scenes where they were working on it. They stopped during the strikes. And then they like completely reworked the show because Kevin Feige and the powers at Marvel were not happy with how it was turning out. So I think Daredevil definitely, but I would not put it any higher than this, than 10th place, because I think the onus is on it to prove that it can be a worthy successor show to the Netflix shows, which were pretty decent. Like they were all around.
Pretty
they
solid.
Were some of the first really good Marvel television shows. And they weren't made by Marvel Studios.
Honestly, if it's this high because it has the pedigree attached to it of those Netflix shows. If it was like a new Daredevil show, this would not
be lower. I fully agree with that. 100%. The fact that this is, you know, a revival of that really popular pretty beloved Netflix show is a huge part of the reason why it has the interest that it did. Like, again, personally, I am going to be more interested in something like The Witcher or even it than I am Daredevil. But I'm intrigued to see how they handle the revival. But yeah, to your points about Invincible, seems like everyone who watches that show really loves it. Seems like it has had a really solid run so far. I'm glad they're not splitting it because that seemed like a marketing decision. I seem to recall reading an interview where even like the showrunner was like, I don't know why we did this. You know, it doesn't seem like it was for the art. It was to make sure Prime Video would have episodes to air during XYZ months. So I'm glad that they're not splitting next season. And I hope that it's as good as everyone is hoping it is.
I am almost 100% sure that you would enjoy it if you ever get around to watching it. But if you have time, it's a lot to watch. The next two are probably going to be Squid Game and One Piece.
Yes, I agree with that.
God, part of me wants to put Squid Game higher, though. I really did. Like, the parts of the second season that hit very hard for me, and I haven't seen the finale yet. So I'm a little bit, I'm a little ignorant of this to be talking about it. So I guess I can't, because I can't know everything, might as well just err on the side of putting it a little bit lower. Because I don't know everything yet.
Well, you know more than me, because I have not, as of this recording, I have not seen the second season yet. Where would you
place the biggest show in Netflix's history? I think I do One Piece, Squid Game. One Piece I'm looking forward to. I mean, I know One Piece is, it's also kind of a kid show, and yet I'm putting it way higher than Percy Jackson or Wednesday. But, it's a kid show with panache, and it really, I'm very impressed when anyone can translate anime successfully to live action.
Oh, yeah.
It is done well a vanishingly small number of times to get the elasticity,
nice,
pun intended, of the anime form, the way it kind of oscillates between dramatic and action and comedy in really broad cartoonish ways, and successfully do that in a live action setting is very hard. And you know, it's hard because it's done well so rarely.
Yes.
So that One Piece did it well is very impressive. And I haven't read the manga or watched the anime series, but when I watch it, I'm like, yeah, this gives the feel of anime to me.
Yes.
And Squid Game, I think, is wonderful. I think the metaphor, it's such a good show for our times about the billionaire class making the lower class part of their aspiration, making them fight to the death for their amusement. It's really potent, that metaphor right now. And the second season definitely brought a lot of the adrenaline pumping excitement that the first season did. I'm waiting for it to make that big statement, like to kind of go wide with its satire. And maybe it'll be in the third and final season. So I would do One Piece, Squid Game.
I think that's fair. So One Piece is one of those shows. I probably personally like it more than Squid Game. I have not read the mangas. I have seen some of the anime. And I agree with everything you said about it, that it is exceedingly rare to see an anime to live action adaptation go as well as One Piece has, and capture not only the hardcore fans of the original IP, but new fans who don't know anything about the manga or could care less to watch the anime, who it's still accessible to because it's just
like me.
Fun. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know, I hadn't really seen the anime until the show came out. I watched some to get ready for the live action. And I've just been loving this series. And it is, you know, it's a fun pirate series. And it's interesting because you say, like, you know, that's another one that is made for kids. I almost feel like it is. It's a little more all ages than something like Percy Jackson or Wednesday. It's interesting. There's a quote from,
I agree,
I think it's E.B. White, the person who wrote Charlotte's Web, I think, talking about how if you're writing down to kid, like the only kids fiction that's worth experiencing is the kind that isn't writing down to them because they're kids.
Sure.
like that is important for young people and adults, like those sorts of things. And I think One Piece is kind of the epitome of that, more than Percy Jackson or Wednesday. I think One Piece is one of those shows where it's like, it's a good story, and it doesn't matter what age you are, you could probably find things to enjoy in it, even if it is ridiculous. You know, we're talking about a show with a pirate kid whose limbs stretch out and he goes around and fights other pirates. One of them is a shark person. Like, it's an outrageous show. I think putting it at eighth and Squid Game at seventh is fair. I am behind on the Squid Game hype train because I have not seen season two yet as of this recording. Netflix's treatment of Squid Game has soured me on the property a little bit, because, you know, you're right. The metaphor of billionaires making normal people fight to the death for their amusement is really potent right now in our current moment. And yet Netflix, the company bankrolling this, is milking it in ways that I think are like nauseatingly bad. Like, I know they just released a new mobile game where it's like, play in the Squid Game. And it's like, oh my God, the way you guys are capitalizing on this is, it's like, did any of you watch this show before you made these decisions? And I understand they're a big company. They have to do what they do. You know, morals have no place in corporate boardrooms, blah, blah, blah. But I do think, you know, Squid Game is still, all of that aside, it's the vision of this creator.
And it is a singular vision. It is not a second. Exactly. It is not adapted from anything. It is an original thing, which I give a lot of credit for.
Yes. Even though he originally planned to just do the one season, that was it. And then Netflix gypped his payments so badly on that first season, he agreed to do two more seasons, so that he is not impoverished with the number one show in the world. So that's a whole aside, but the story itself, I think, is really compelling. I'm excited to rewatch the first season and watch the second. I think knowing that, one, they filmed season two and three back to back so that they could have it come out next year, and two, that it is the singular vision. It's not adapted from anything. It's the final season of the show until Netflix manages to do like Squid Game Brazil and Squid Game New York.
Prequel.
Squid Game before they were squids, and
calamari game.
I am sure Netflix is going to do all that stuff, but before it totally morally drains the shit out of Squid Game, I think the third season is really notable. I think it belongs in that seventh spot ahead of One Piece. Will have more seasons.
Yes.
Squid Game will not.
I agree with you that the spinoffs are crazy. I don't think that needs necessarily to touch the original show, which is this vision of this one person, Hwang Dong-hyuk, who didn't have anything to do with the spinoffs. And whenever he's asked about it, he's like, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? That's a little weird what they're doing.
He knows. He understands what they're doing. It's kind of crazy. There was an interview in Variety recently where he's like, I'm so sick of Squid Game. I just want to go live on an island somewhere.
He puts all into it. Like,
yeah,
he's the writer director of every episode. Like, and you can tell it's really him doing this.
Yeah.
And so, hell yeah. I like it.
Squid Game. Squid Game at number seven. I agree.
All right. Whew. And now we're on to the final five in these slots. So the final five, just to refresh y'all, are The Last of Us Season 2, Severance Season 2, Star Wars Andor Season 2, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, and Stranger Things Season 5.
Yeah, those are hard.
Pretty big hitters.
They are. That's a hard top five. And again, for people coming in late, whatever, we have the Wheel of Time at number one. So these are slots six through two.
Who's going to win silver?
How are you feeling? You're still feeling good about Wheel of Time at one, looking at these others.
Yeah, I am. I mean, on the totality, it being this, I like epic fantasy a lot. I think it's earned some trust at this point.
Agree.
And I think the book series is iconic. And I think things are coming together nicely for it.
Yeah.
I couldn't put like a new show like A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms based on these novels by George R.R. Martin. I mean, I'm excited for it because I love a Game of Thrones spinoff. I think the novellas are very well regarded, and we've been hearing great things about it. But I couldn't put it above the Wheel of Time, that so that already has like established that it's that it can do good things.
Yeah.
So the answer, the question for me is, well, what do I put second? You wanted Stranger Things season 5, which I get why. It's Stranger Things is another, like, kind of like Squid Game a bit, where it's a show that is an original idea, which is sort of a vanishing art form nowadays, that wasn't a spinoff of anything. It wasn't adapted from anything. It's a TV made for TV vision by the Duffer Brothers. I mean, I guess it draws from every Stephen King and Steven Spielberg movie and book ever written and made.
Yeah, but it's referential.
It's
referential and reverent. It's paying homage to a specific time period, but it's not adapted from anything. Still very much their own story.
And they have done a great job of making it a pop culture phenomenon over these past 8 years it's been on. It'll be 9 when it comes out. It's been successful. The show's really grown as it's gone on. The cast members have grown, which is always a fun thing to kind of watch young characters grow up on screen. It really helps sell the, what's the word for the coming of age story? The fancy literary word.
I always forget this and then you always remember it.
I know.
This is not a word I keep in my back pocket, but you do. I know. It will come out in a minute.
Bildungsroman.
That's the one. Bildungsroman. That's the one.
And the final season is a big deal, and it should be high on the list somewhere.
I agree. Second,
is there anything I would rather put second? I guess not. I can get behind Stranger Things in the second slot.
Cool.
Of the choices.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to enjoy all five of these last shows, but I think there will not be a bigger sci-fi fantasy show of the year than Stranger Things season 5. It is the final season. It's going to be a massive event. I'm excited by some of the behind the scenes stuff, like the fact that they have Dan Trachtenberg directing one episode.
Oh, yeah.
Prey very successfully. Very cool. We have a bunch of Predator stuff coming next year too, but that's not TV, so we're not talking about it today. They have what, Linda Hamilton from Terminator is joining this season.
Cool, yeah.
I feel like this is their final season. They are just going to go all out, making it a massive, huge event. I think Stranger Things should be number 2.
I agree.
I'm excited for all five of these though. Do we want to go? Let's go back down. Well, whatever. What do you want to do next? I think at this point it's a free for all. So
I am now paralyzed. I want to see all of these other things coming up. Okay. I think if I go by my heart, if I just go by my kind of gut reactions, I'd probably put Andor season 2 at number 6.
Okay.
Andor is one of those shows that I enjoyed it. There is a part of me that I admire it more than I love it. Do you know what I mean?
Because like, it's Star Wars, it's one of the few Star Wars shows that has managed to be really good in its own right.
Honestly, I think it's good enough to watch and appreciate without having to wrap yourself up in the fact that it's a Star Wars show.
Fully agree.
I mean, like the moments that really hit people hard. Like there's the
no way
where the Skarsgård gave his speech about the rebellion.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Nothing,
yeah.
Like I'm watching, I'm like, I know this is excellent. I didn't feel it quite as hard here, like in my chest, as I ideally want to with the show. But I liked it and I felt it and it was very strong. And I have a lot of faith that Tony Gore, the guy who's doing it, can really bring something. Obviously, he has integrity. Obviously, he has ideas. Obviously, he has talent and experience and craft. And I'm sure it'll be good. But yeah, like just of the ones left, that's the one that I connect with emotionally the least.
That's fair. I think it's a toss up between that and Severance for me first. The sixth
I like
plot.
Severance. Yeah.
I like Severance. This is where the recency becomes a thing because I watched Severance when it first
came
out.
It's all close, though. It's all very close. I want to say that. Like, these last four, I'm very close on all of them.
We are splitting hairs at this point. Any of these shows could, depending on personal preference, be higher or lower. I will not dispute. I think Andor and Severance are the two for 6 and 5 for me. I think they could go either way. I know that personally, I'm much more excited for The Last of Us and A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, even though I'm kind of anticipating A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms will be really good, but less impactful, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Than some of these, just because of the nature of the story, right? Like, it's based on a novella by George R. R. Martin. It's not really, written to be a big, weighty epic. It's kind of a smaller slice of life type of story that still has drama, it still has bloodshed, still has betrayals and all the things that a good George R. R. Martin story has. But by the very nature of the beast, it is going to feel less like a big wild opus than something like The Last of Us or Severance or something like that. So if you want to put Andor at six, I'm okay with that. You want to go?
I'm talking myself out of it now. Because these four all very close to me.
Yeah. You went to
make all have strengths and weaknesses. I mean, like, Knights of the Seven Kingdoms, you just said it. I'm sure it's going to be good. It's a little on the shorter side. It's a little on the smaller scale side, which could be wonderful. I mean, like, I like things on the smaller scale side. I'm looking forward to a Game of Thrones show that embraces the humorous side of things, because there's a lot of humor in George R. R. Martin's work.
Yes, there is.
I don't think it's getting the attention it needs in House of the show like House of the Dragon. And then the downside of that is that it's a little bit smaller in scale. I admire it. But it just didn't hit me square in the feels. The Last of Us, I'm looking forward to it, obviously. I was thinking about this too. By far the high point of the first season of The Last of Us to me, in a way that I think almost by the rest of the season looked kind of dim, was the complete made up side story about the two gay dudes loving in the post-apocalypse. Like, that was the best thing about the first season, and it had nothing, almost nothing to do with the base game. And now the second game is being adapted. The second game is very intense. A lot of controversial twists and turns. Ooh, it could be so good. It should be high. Maybe it should be third.
I think The Last of Us is definitely contention for third. I think the main thing it has working against it is its low episode count, because The Last of Us season two is only 7 episodes. Uh-huh. It's probably adapting roughly half of the second game. Mm-hmm. I personally, The Last of Us Part Two, which is the game it's based on, you're right. It is a very, very controversial game. A lot of people loved it. A lot of people hated it for a variety of reasons. I am in the former camp. I think it is like a masterpiece game. Like, it's kind of like, I describe it to people as like almost like the Breaking Bad of video games, because it plays with your emotions in a way where it, like, it is going to take you on a journey, and it is going to be very difficult at times, and you're going to empathize with people you don't want to empathize with, and maybe dislike people you want to like. And yeah, I thought it was just the scope and the scale of the thing is incredible. I am curious how they're going to do it on television. But I think that is in contention for third for me.
These are all so close.
They really are.
Severance, I love an original idea. And I love a show that effectively mixes like drama and mystery and humor. God, I want jokes on TV. I want like jokes in my deep, dark, bloody, gritty, horrible drama. I think it makes it so much more believable and human and lifelike. I have no idea where it's going. Like, you know, I know where The Last of Us is going, basically, so I can kind of guess, like, ooh, that could be amazing. Severance, if they continue on the path they're on, could be amazing, because the first season was really excellent. I mean, or because they don't really have a roadmap to making it up, it could be bad. I don't know. God, this is hard. Okay, I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to put The Last of Us third, Another Seven Kingdoms fourth, Severance fifth, Andor sixth. But I'm not committed to that. Andor could go higher.
Well, what would you put lower than Andor?
one of the other three that I just mentioned. I don't know.
I'm putting you on the spot. Pick one. Tell it to its face. It belongs lower than Andor. Severance or A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Or
Severance. I get. No, I love. I'm looking forward to Severance a lot.
I think.
You know what? No, I am going to say that's my list. And I might wake up screaming tonight in my sleep and say no, but.
That's how you'll know you were so committed to this. I think I agree with your list. I think Andor is sixth. I loved all four of these shows.
I did too.
I think Severance, the points you made about Severance being an original idea, being, you know, a good mixture of comedy and mystery and sci-fi elements. I have the opposite of recency bias working against me, because I remember when Severance season one came out and we ranked our best shows for that year, which was like 2021, I think. Like, it was a long time ago. I'm pretty sure I argued Severance into first place on those rankings.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah,
it was the year before House of the Dragon came out, and I'm pretty sure I made the case for it. And I remember us walking away from that and being like, man, was Severance really that good? And it's like, yeah, it is that good. It's a great show. So I think I would rank it higher than Andor. We kind of know where Andor is going. Mm-hmm. It's the only downside of it, because it is a prequel to Rogue
One.
That's true. I think the point you made about Severance being a really unpredictable ride is a good one. And I think that is one of the things that a lot of these adaptations have working against them. Andor is not an adaptation, but it's kind of in that space because it's a long running IP with gobs and gobs of lore and whatever. So yeah, I agree with that. So Andor, Severance, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, I do think should go lower than Last of Us, even though it pains me a little bit to say it, because again, I'm just expecting the nature of the beast to be a little lighter, a little fluffier, which isn't bad, but I'm expecting The Last of Us to be the exact opposite of that, where it is going to be a big, heavy, meaty story that really takes us on a journey.
Could we switch
hit me with
Severance
it.
And A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms?
Yes. I almost said that a second ago. I would consider switching them. So yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Whew, this is really getting down to it. Because, yeah, again, A Knight of the Set, like, I love Duncan Egg. I love those stories. I am going to be hyped for that show. But I think, you know, Severance is really a series which has been kind of firing on all cylinders. The biggest thing A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms has working against it, aside from just, like I said, the nature of the beast, which is a lighter, funner show, which is fine. I'm not trying to shade that. But aside from that, the main thing is that this is the third Game of Thrones show HBO is making. And I think even though the word on the ground seems to be that they are doing a really good job with A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, George R. R. Martin seems very happy with it. I do think they are starting to face a wall where it's you need to really prove that you should be making more and more Game of Thrones shows like this. And I think we'll see what happens with this one versus Severance, where it's an original idea that Apple is just giving them the go ahead to keep making this show. So yeah, I think after much debate, which was less painful than usual, I feel like we were pretty much on the same page with almost all of these. We have gotten good at this over the years. I think just maybe we have arrived at our 20 most anticipated shows of 2025.
And I'm going to read them out, because if I don't, then I'll want to change something else.
Start at the bottom. Read up.
Sure. Why not? At number 20 is Devil May Cry, an adaptation of video game, but it's animated. And he has 6-pack abs. Number 19 is Wednesday, Adam's Family spinoff about the moody Adam's daughter, Wednesday. Number 18 is Percy Jackson and the Olympian season 2, Greek myth come to life. Number 17 is the 7th season of Black Mirror, sci-fi anthology show, which is the sequel to the Star Trek one, which is pretty good. Maybe it'll be good. Number 16, season 6, the final season of The Handmaid's Tale, the long continuation of Margaret Atwood's dystopian novel. Number 15, second season of The Boys spinoff, Gen V. It's The Boys, but it's what's happening in other parts where you're not looking at the boys.
In college.
In college. Number 14 is Outlander, the eighth and final season of Outlander, the time-traveling romance that has been going on for 8 seasons now. May it end well. Number 13 is the fourth season of The Witcher. Lots of big changes coming. Will it get better, worse? It's impossible to know. Number 12 is the second season of The Sandman on Netflix. Probably abbreviated telling of this iconic comic book story. Number 11 is It, Welcome to Derry, an HBO show about a murderous clown haunting people throughout history. Shameless cash grab or deeply felt drama. We'll see. Number 10 is Daredevil, Born Again, a revival of the beloved Netflix Daredevil show, but now with Disney at the helm. And the final 9 are all shows I can say I'm looking forward to without reservation. the third season of Invincible is number 9, Robert Kirkman superhero show. Number 8 is the second season of One Piece, the live action anime adaptation that has been the one to exception to prove the rule. The anime adaptations are not very good. Number 7 is the third final season of Squid Game, the bracingly original capitalist critique, South Korean action drama. Really, really fun and original and cool. Number 6, second season of Star Wars Andor, the best Star Wars show, probably, just put a period on the sentence. Number 5 is A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, a new Game of Thrones prequel show. It'll be lighter, frothier, and funnier. Number 4, second season of Severance, about when work-life balance meets sci-fi craziness. Number 3 is second season of The Last of Us, adapting definitely the most controversial video game of the past, like, 10 years. So that'll be fun to see what people do with that. Number 2 is the fifth and final season of Stranger Things. Show's been on for 8 years. It'll be 9 years next year. They're going to go out with a bang or die trying. And number 1 is the third season of The Wheel of Time, an epic fantasy show made in an old school mold that has earned our respect and alliance. And that is our 20 most anticipated sci-fi and fantasy shows of 2025. I think when we get over this, I feel better than I did about our 15 best shows, which I'm haunted by the order of.
Me too. I feel really good about this list. I feel like I'm not really going to get off this video and think, man, I wish we'd put XYZ higher. I think this is the correct order for our respective hypes for these shows. So, yeah, viewers, listeners, whoever you are out there in the ether listening to us, give us a like and a subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever. And let us know in whatever comments you have access to how you feel about these rankings and if you would change anything. Because, I think I'm feeling pretty good about this list we've settled on, Dan.
Yeah, and come back and watch our live shows every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Winners Coming YouTube and Facebook pages. We go over, news, reviews, interviews, whatever we got to talk about. Come join us. Comment live. We'd love to talk to you. See you then. I hope you had a great new year. Hope you had a great 2024. And we'll chat you up in 2025.
Yeah, happy 2025, all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.